Hey there, No Wrong Answers listeners. This is Kyle Palmer, host and creator of the podcast. We're taking some time off around the Thanksgiving holiday, spending it with loved ones. Hopefully you are too. And please, if you're a teacher, stay away from the grading. Just give yourself a mental break. Our teachers at No Wrong Answers are no different, so to give them a break, and us too, frankly, we're picking through the conversations we've had the past few months and selecting some of the best ones for your listening enjoyment. These topics we feel are still relevant and interesting now in the conversations our teachers had about them not so long ago. We're passionate and thoughtful, and we thought you might like to listen to them again. Enjoy this hit from the No Wrong Answers archive. Welcome to No Wrong Answers, the weekly podcast that gives you a teacherly take on the world. I'm your host, Kyle Palmer. I'm a former teacher turned public radio journalist, and I'm joined as always by a group of hardworking teachers who are ready to talk. So let's introduce them. Paul Donovan, what do you teach?
I teach dual credit math for college algebra, pre-calculus, and calculus. And then I adjunct college in the evenings and at Lansing Prison in the evenings as well.
Getting all over. Lou Ann Fox, what do you teach?
I teach high school English.
And Bakari Ukuu, what do you do in education?
I'm a vice principal for middle school.
Good to have all three of you. You work at public school teachers in the Kansas City metro area. We should note that. Let's get to it. Like a lot of big national news stories, the controversy over NFL players silently protesting during the national anthem has made its way down to America's public schools. This has become such a big story, whether you believe it should be a big story or not, that it's only natural we should start to see anthem protest and the like in schools. It's worth it, I think, to review the history of this just a bit, because the recent hubbub has obscured maybe a little bit what this is all about. Of course, President Donald Trump harangued NFL players for kneeling or sitting during the national anthem, referring to them as SOBs and calling on owners to fire players who did so. The Sunday after Trump said those things, some 200 players around the league did their own individual acts of protest. In some cases, entire teams chose not to come out of their locker rooms for the national anthem. What exactly they were protesting was obscure, maybe unclear in many cases, though several prominent players expressed the willingness to stand up for free speech rights, as well as anger at President Trump. Of course, all this began last season when then San Francisco 49ers quarterback Colin Kaepernick decided to sit during the national anthem before preseason games. In fact, three games went by before anyone noticed. And once people did notice and reporters asked him why he was doing it, he said, quote, I am not going to stand up to show pride in a flag for a country that oppresses black people and people of color. To me, this is bigger than football, and it would be selfish on my part to look the other way. There are bodies in the street and people getting paid leave, getting away with murder, end quote. Kaepernick then adjusted his protest, switching from sitting on the bench to kneeling. He did this, it was later revealed, after consultation with a teammate who was also a former Green Beret, who on HBO's Real Sports said he told Kaepernick it would be seen by veterans as more respectful if he kneeled. Of course, now it's much bigger and crazier, but this is filtering down to schools and kids. For instance, in Oakland, the Oakland Unified School District's Honors Band, comprised of some 100 students from the district's high schools, nearly all took a knee as they performed the national anthem on the field before an Oakland A's baseball game. The band's director said the students had the support of him and district officials before they did it. In contrast, a principal at a high school in Louisiana made headlines nationwide when he sent a letter home with students saying that if student athletes at that school kneeled during the anthem before sporting events, then those students could be kicked off their teams. And if you think it's just about the anthem, think again. A Florida first grader was admonished by his teacher recently for kneeling during the saying of the Pledge of Allegiance. When the boy's mother complained, district officials cited a Florida state law that indeed requires students to stand and place their hand over their heart when saying the pledge. But as the boy's mother said, quote, what he did was having a difference of opinion. He was not being disrespectful. He was silently protesting and exercising his constitutional rights. So for my teachers here today, do you feel a sense of, do you feel pressure to try to, I guess I'll phrase it this way, enforce kind of these rituals of patriotism, have kids stand up, have kids show deference and respect? Do you feel that pressure to do that as educators?
So when I hear this like question around pressure, I feel less pressure to get my students to fall in line with these protocols and rituals of America, and more pressure in really getting them to analyze why they are what they are, and why do we celebrate the certain things that we celebrate. And so when I think about the anthem, when we think about looking at the lyrics of the anthem and going beyond what we often hear when we sing it, we go beyond that first verse, we actually see some very problematic language to many minorities, particularly African Americans. We think about the 4th of July and independence. We weren't free when we were when 4th of July happened. And so, but we're still expected to be a part of this culture and a part and just assimilate without really having the freedoms and the opportunities to have conversations around what that really means for us as a people and as a culture and how that has impacted our journey here in America.
And to be clear, you, for years, you've worked in a district that is majority minority, mm-hmm. or majority African American, in fact, and you used to even work at a school that had a kind of an African-centered curriculum. Mm-hmm. Have you working in an environment like that, what has been kind of the institutional or among the feeling among your colleagues about some of the things you're talking about here, the anthem, the patriotism, the 4th of July?
I think it varies. While we teach a primarily minority population, most of our teachers are not minority. And so the lens in which they view America is much different than the lens in which I view America, being a minority and being a minority educator. And so I think that, I mean, we talk about culturally responsive teaching, and that's part of that culture, being culturally responsive, is being aware, especially in these type of times where we have to engage our students in a larger conversation. It's not just about following protocol and following in line with the rituals. It's about really being a critical thinker and understanding what this means for society and how this impacts you as a person and being able to make a choice on your own. Another No Wrong Answers panelist posted on his Facebook a couple days ago this quote, which I thought was excellently captured the sentiment, is that it says, racism in America is so American that when we protest racism, the average American assumes we're protesting America, and that it is just so ingrained to who we are as a country that we don't know how to separate it. And so when I talk about patriotism being just racism shrouded in this pride for our country, that is exactly what it becomes, is that these type of things, the 4th of July, the national anthem, these are what we hold as our symbols of pride, and yet they are very problematic to people who were here and did not have opportunities to participate in ways that others want us to chime in.
It just reminds me of Frederick Douglass's "What is this?
Mm-hmm.
What
yes.
is the 4th of July to the slave?" Mm-hmm. I mean, it's and I'm probably saying the title wrong, but you know what piece I'm talking about. But it's exactly that. Yeah.
So, in this conversation, if someone who has been offended by these protests is listening, they might think, well, shouldn't young people be taught to respect the country they're growing up in?
Absolutely. But, like, no person is perfect. No country is perfect. And I think you can only respect something if you really can examine it in all of its flaws. It would be horrible to have some sort of revisionist history go out mm-hmm. where we have generations in the future that just really don't learn about some of the ugliness.
Be.
I mean, birth is ugly in and of itself, and the birth of America is no exception. You can only come to appreciate something if you know it fully.
For me, I think the problem comes all the way down back to the beginning. Maybe it's because I'm a math teacher, but definitions are important. And I don't think when we say we need to respect the flag, I don't think people agree on what that means. What is respect? Mm-hmm. From what I'm seeing, nobody on any side is trying to disrespect the flag or the country. People have different ideas of what that respect means. And I think that's what's getting a lot of the students kind of glazed looks in their eyes, because they say you got to respect the flag, you got to respect America, but nobody's explaining what that looks
like.
So
you've had incidents at your school where an administrator or a teacher has gotten on students for not, quote, showing respect for the flag during the national anthem. Like, how did that go down, and then what was the student's response?
It was an incident during a school assembly where they were singing the national anthem, and about maybe half of the students were just talking to each other and laughing and goofing around while the anthem was going. And so the principal got very upset and said, whatever your feelings are, you at least need to be quiet and respectful to the people who are trying to pay their respects to the flag. And so, you know, he had us do it again until everybody could at least
play the whole anthem again
until everybody could at least be quiet. I think he personally would be fine with protests of, like, taking a knee, from what I know of the principal. But he's trying to ride the line by keeping, you know, both sets of parents happy. So I think he's trying to say, yeah, you might not want to participate, but at least don't disrespect those that do. And so he's trying to find the best solution.
Do you find that a coherent argument?
Well, the students were like, I mean, they were teenagers, so they were like, oh, come on, that's BS, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, eventually, just to get it over with, they were quiet. So, like, and then everything went on.
Yeah,
but
just, it didn't mean they were respectful. They were just, well, like,
yeah,
compliant.
So what's ultimately the lesson that's learned there, I guess?
To shut up during the anthem.
extrapolating that out to society then, I mean, do you think a lot of people just do that, just to shut up and not?
Right, and I mean, and to be honest, when I do go to sporting events, when they do the anthem, I don't see a lot of people around me paying that much attention either. They're just more quiet about it. But the anthem is not a big deal for a lot of people, low-key, to use one of the kids' terms. It's just, it doesn't draw attention. They just know quietly.
Until a black man says he has another narrative to be said.
That's true.
And now everyone cares.
That's true.
Yep.
Too often, and I think about the people who are upset now that someone is taking a stance and presenting their point of view during the national anthem by kneeling, this notion of bystanders. So when I hear you talk about your principal wanted them to just be silent, I think about this notion of, like, well, how are we developing citizens? Too often in America, we have part of our norm is to be a bystander. And that's why they get upset, because they can no longer just be a bystander, because now they're confronted with the injustices of America and they don't want to deal with it. And I think that's often where the offense takes place, is that they're not offended that Kaepernick took a knee. They're offended that now they have to do something about it. They have to respond to it. And so they can no longer just be a bystander.
So they have
to pick a side.
You giving me examples of students who, like, maybe just don't want to stand because it's 7:20 in the morning, or they have some adult telling them to stand. Uh-huh. But I guess for a student who is trying to make a political point, do they have free speech rights in school?
Yes.
Yes, they do. They do.
Is there any limitation to that?
Yes.
You can't harm anybody else.
Once it becomes disruptive to the school environment, their freedom of speech is limited.
Right.
Mm. That's what the law says.
Right. So, I mean, that you're referencing or going back to, I think, a pretty famous free speech case. Tinker, I believe, is what it was called back in 1969, a Des Moines school.
That was the Des Moines one, right? Mm-hmm. With the Vietnam War
armbands. Students were protesting the Vietnam War by wearing black armbands. The U.S. Supreme Court said that they had that right as long as it was not, because it was not disruptive to the regular operations of the school. As Justice Abe Fortas wrote in that decision, quote, in our system, students may not be regarded as closed circuit recipients of only that which the state chooses to communicate. Students are entitled to freedom of expression of their views. That will do it for this episode of No Wrong Answers, this archived episode. You can like us at Facebook, follow us on Twitter, just search for the No Wrong Answers podcast by Fountain City Frequency. Find us at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And once you find us, subscribe and leave us a review. It helps. There are no other podcasts like ours giving you a teacherly take on the world. If you've enjoyed the conversation you've heard today, subscribe, leave us a review, and keep the conversation going. Thanks, as always, to Matt Hodapp, who produces the podcast. Thank you to KCUR 89.3 Kansas City Public Radio. I'm Kyle Palmer. Catch you next time.